Russian President Vladimir Putin has reiterated that sanctions and pressure alone cannot resolve the North Korean nuclear crisis. In a meeting with his South Korean counterpart, Moon Jae-in, in Russia, Putin said no headway could be made without political and diplomatic tools. Meanwhile, the U.S. has prepared a draft resolution calling on the United Nations Security Council to impose an oil embargo on North Korea. The resolution also wants a ban on the country's exports of textiles and the hiring of North Korean laborers abroad. It also demands the assets of leader Kim Jong-un be frozen. Elsewhere, the U.S. president has said military action against North Korea is not the first choice.
President Xi would like to do something. We'll see whether or not he can do it. But we will not be putting up with what's happening at North Korea. I believe that President Xi agrees with me 100%. He doesn't want to see what's happening there either. We had a very, very frank and very strong phone call. We're going to see what happens. We'll see what happens. Certainly that's not a first choice, but we will see what happens.
Trump had earlier said that now is the time to talk to North Korea and that all options remain open. He warned of fire and fury if Pyongyang continued with its missile tests. So far, those threats have gone unheeded in Pyongyang, which has recently launched several missiles. Last week, North Korea said it successfully test-fired a hydrogen bomb, drawing international condemnation. The U.S. and its allies have repeatedly urged the North to give up its nuclear and missile programs. However, Pyongyang says they are essential to counter U.S. threats and aggression. To discuss that further, we're now joined by Jason Ruhe, who is a political commentator, and he is joining us live now via Skype from Ontario. Jason, thanks for joining us. What do you make, Jason, of the fact that it seems, at least, that Kim Jong-un really has checkmated almost U.S. President Trump, in the sense that Trump just a while back was saying, we're going to use fire and fury to fight North Korea. Now he says, oh, no, wait, we can possibly use dialogue.
I think it's very typical of President Trump to do such a thing. He often spews rhetoric about what it is that he wants to do or perhaps how he feels at the time. And then later he has to pull back and issue some other kind of situation or some other kind of response because his advisors have probably pulled him aside and told him that they're not capable of doing what he says. Trump does seem to have a propensity towards bombast, and that's not how a professional politician should act. I mean, there definitely is a complete roadblock here as to what the United States can do against the DPRK. The military option is off the table. There is no way of actually attacking the DPRK without the cost of the war being greater than any benefits that would arise from toppling the DPRK government. And these new sanctions are just that. They're saber rattling that the DPRK is may or may not take particularly seriously. Any sanctions against any alleged wealth that Kim Jong-un himself holds won't really do anything to the country. If anything, it only tend to irk the man himself. But perhaps that's what the United States is going for. However, blockading oil against the country is a very serious business. Energy resources alone are a tremendous part of anyone's economy and completely inseparable from every sector of that economy. A simple rise in gas price could cause a tremendous amount of inflation. As we saw with the United States and the gas shortage in the 1970s, put on a larger scale, it could be far more destructive.
So Jason, you know, in many ways, hasn't Kim Jong-un really, by his actions, proven that exactly what he says, really, that the North needs this deterrent, the strong deterrent to be able to keep itself safe? Doesn't this entire situation really continue to prove that point?
Oh, absolutely. The DPRK has followed the policy of Sangam, which means military first. They place all of their resources into defending themselves from imperialist conquest, and that has definitely won out. There's many heavy criticisms have been leveled against the country for having such a policy, but in the end, the policy has proven to be successful. The DPRK has not been invaded by the United States, and for the foreseeable future, seems to be immune from any physical acts on a large scale, at least from U.S. imperialism. All that's left now is tough words against the DPRK. The ultimatum has already been made. If you further continue, there's going to be repercussions to your actions on a military scale. The DPRK has continued completely unabated by the threats made by Donald Trump. And as a result, we see that Trump's words were hollow. There has been no military conflict forthcoming. The DPRK has made the right choice in placing its a military insistence of its independence ahead of everything else.
All right, Jason, we'll leave it there at that. But of course, as always, we appreciate you taking your time out and speaking to us here at Press TV.